Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You know, last night I was on what is now called the Infinity Sports Network. It used to be called CBS Sports Radio. Now it's the Infinity Sports Network. And I tossed out the idea, and it's not like I'm breaking down any barriers here or anything like that, but I tossed down, I was mad about how yesterday went down. Not that I was mad one way or another with the Cavs, because we've addressed that in the 2 o'clock hour. Cavs did what the Cavs had to do in order to get their spot. I'm fine with that. I've made peace with that. But I thought yesterday was overall embarrassing for the NBA, Dustin. I thought it was embarrassing for Milwaukee. I thought it was embarrassing for the Cavs. I thought in part it was embarrassing for the Knicks because they played their butt off. And then all of a sudden, all their fan base, all the bing bongs in the world, all they want to do is bing just bong. Tell you. Mr. Buckley called in national last night. All he wanted to do was talk about how his team was this and his team was that. But the reality was, you check social media and you check everywhere else, Knicks fans were livid at their own team. Mm-hmm. You got guys like Thibodeau out here saying, we only play one way, we play hard. Okay, congratulations. You played your way into taking on the 76ers. Feel good about that one. You'll be watching the second round from the couch. What we saw was embarrassing. But it worked in an interesting way. Some teams trying and some teams not trying. And it's seeming like it's entirely dependent on what was happening elsewhere. Knicks had an advantage in that they knew what they had to do, and then they still played hard for some reason. But if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm pissed about how this all went down. Because the idea of sports is you're supposed to try your very best. You're supposed to try to win as many games as you can. And there isn't supposed to be a system to game. I mean, the sad reality for a lot of Cavs fans is you didn't get mad because you wasted your Sunday. You got mad because the Cavs gamed a system that wasn't built properly. You're not mad at the Cavs. It's displaced anger. You're mad at the system. The system rewarded the Cavs the same way they rewarded the Bucks for not trying and not being as good. So let me ask you guys, 216-474 to below 92. Should the NBA just let teams choose their own matchup? The idea is pretty simple, Dustin. You win as many games as you possibly can, you try your hardest, and then we do a TV broadcasted style draft where the teams get to choose their own opponent, and we go from there. It is the only solution, I think, to this whole ordeal that makes sense, because what we have right now, it clearly doesn't work. NBA should be embarrassed by what took place yesterday.
So that's interesting. I kind of like the idea. It would be great theater for us as fans to watch on television. I just don't know how it goes over in the league. I mean, you're basically picking a team that you believe you can win against. I don't know if I'd want to poke the bear on anybody.
I love poking the bear. I think the NBA is best when we're poking the bear.
No kidding.
And you know, it's good content for me, and it's good content for you. But I like
poke the bear on my airport calls.
That's right. I just poke. Man. Just poking the bear. The Facebook poke was initially just called the Jonathan Peterlin. They had to go back and workshop that one, and then they got the poke down. Honestly, though, I think this is the right solution. Because think about it. Like, for instance, the Knicks. The Knicks get the second seed. Maybe the Knicks are like, you know what? Yeah, Magic are fine. Pacers are whatever. Yeah, all right. But you know what? We want to play the Cavs. Because last year, Jared Allen said the lights were too bright, and we think we own the Cavs. Well, Cavs are the 4 seed. All right, but hey, Knicks just chose you. Now you have to start to think about how you're building out these teams. Because instead of just accepting the fact that you got punked by the Knicks last year, you got to accept the fact that if the Knicks continue to win and have a better record than you, they're going to choose you every single year. Imagine taking on the same postseason team three seasons in a row and not being able to get past them because you refuse to construct your roster in a way that will beat a team that is just bigger than you. I love this idea, and I love the idea of giving a reward system to teams that play their hardest and to teams that really, truly want to win. And you know, in the olden days, I feel like people would look at the NBA and they say we move at a glacier-esque pace. We just don't move quick enough. We just don't move smooth enough in order to be able to pull something like this off. But I'll give the NBA some credit. The NBA has adjusted how quickly they'll be able to change some things. A couple years ago, it would have been inconceivable to ever have a situation where they tried to stop load management. Now you need 65 games to make an all-NBA team, which directly impacts your financial situation. So you have situations like Tyrese Halliburton, who is pushing it to the extremes, but he's making sure he gets 65 games, so he makes sure that he gets all the bonuses and everything else attached to potentially making an all-NBA team and everything else that he can possibly be in the running for, right? Donovan didn't make it this year. Donovan, he didn't make it. It was what it was. But there's a direct impact by making all-NBA third team that exists if you don't make all-NBA second, first, whatever, right? Or even the third. Second thing they've done, they changed the idea that they don't want you to tank. Right? For years, it was like, all right, teams are obviously tanking. It's bad for the sport. Now, if you're the worst team in the league, you can be the Detroit Pistons. They've had the worst lottery luck imaginable, but every single year, they're the worst team, and the NBA has set up the structure where they don't get rewarded for being the worst team. Like, the NBA, I feel like this goes the same way with Major League Baseball. They're in the business of making large adjustments because everyone's getting smoked by the NFL. The NFL is dominating the ratings in such a way they are destroying all the top 100 sports ratings we have every single year. And the NBA and Major League Baseball understand if they don't give fans what they're actually clamoring for, you're going to eventually get left behind. You got to make the adjustments. You got to give the people what they want, and you got to serve it to them on a silver platter. Well, I'm telling you, NBA, this is what I want. Because what we saw yesterday wasn't right for the NBA, wasn't fair for the NBA, and wasn't something I'm interested in watching in the NBA. And I don't know how many times this comes up, Dustin. I don't. I mean, you know, last year the Heat won as an 8 seed to the NBA Finals. It wouldn't work this way on the West side, but on the East side of the bracket right now, where, and especially when you have NBA parity as large as it's ever been, 14 teams won between 46 and 51 games this year. That's almost half the league, Dustin. Like, Adam Silver is getting what he wants. It's a lot of teams that are all playing right in the middle. So in years to come, this is just going to continue to happen. Make it obvious. Let teams choose their own matchups. And it goes in order. You can play the play-in games. You play the play-in tournament. After the play-in tournament, you do a broadcasted TV-style event. And then you put it up, make a big deal of it. And then the Boston Celtics choose first. The Knicks would choose second in this instance. Milwaukee would choose third. And we would choose fourth if we weren't already chosen as well. We start the rivalries up and we get this thing going. I think it makes a ton of sense. Are you on board?
I'm not opposed to it. I just, like I said before, I think that it would create a little bit of animosity towards players. And, you know, I think there's a chance if you're the one seed and you pick a certain team, that that team may come out like a scalded dog and have a little bit more incentive to take it to you or try to. Now, listen, if you're an 8 seed and you're playing a 1 seed, there's a good chance you're going to just get your butt whooped anyway.
Well, and wouldn't that be more fair in general? Like, I mean, think about it. Like, right now, let's just play with some presumptions here. But right now, you would have the Heat as the 8 seed taking on the Celtics as the 1 seed. According to what I want the NFL to do, it would be the Celtics against probably either the Magic or the Pacers, right? So, like, the Pacers can try their best. Pacers aren't ever going to be anywhere close to what Miami is with playoff Jimmy and the best head coach in the game and Eric Spoelstra. They're not going to be able to compete on that level. So I'll take the team that feels like they got slighted, and they should, by the way, but I'll take the team that feels like they got slighted over what is the better team. And I think a lot of what we saw this postseason or going to be for this postseason is why I'm really latching onto this idea. Joel Embiid is on a team right now that won 47 games, is going to be a play-in team, likely the 7th seed, and everyone in the game knows they're a 60-win team. Everyone in the game knows they're not a traditional 7-seed team, to the point where you saw what you saw yesterday. That was teams laying down and dying on the court. Us throwing our G League team out there because they were so adamant that they wanted to avoid a 76ers team that, with Joel Embiid, is a serious threat to make it to the NBA Finals. So they tried everything they could to avoid it. Well, why did we put ourselves in that situation? Like, it's acting as if the regular season is a true reflection on how these seedings should be, how these seedings should actually be done. And I just don't think it's, I don't think it's accurate because of injuries and because of everything else that is bound to happen in an 82 game season. And it works both ways too. Sometimes you have a team that, that'll play 70 games and they'll end up being a two seed or a three seed, but their star player got injured in game 71. It's like, all right, well, there's an easy opening draw. It's like, well, them's the breaks. That's the lot in life. How about we take a them's the breaks mentality and chuck it out the window? How about we actually give the teams that are the number one seeds and busted their butt all season long, and the number two seed, like you saw the Knicks yesterday, and busted their butt to become the two seed? How about we actually reward those teams for doing that?
How about we just have a lottery? See who you play.
What do you mean? Like ping pong balls?
Yeah, like the NBA lottery, but just like have
like percentage chances?
Correct. Like your regular season record would give you more ping pong balls to have a higher seed. And then that way teams would just play through the end of the year no matter what. It's not the smartest idea, but.
The percentages would still likely play out the way it is right now.
Let the first four teams have home court and then the other four teams.
Listen, you're
have
thinking.
Have a lottery.
You're thinking.
I'm thinking about something.
I will never hate any idea thrown up against the wall, because what I know right now is the NBA's got an issue. The NBA has a problem because what we saw yesterday was embarrassing for the sport. So how do we fix that problem? I don't get to come on here at 2 o'clock and complain about that Cavs situation from yesterday for an hour without offering up real solutions to how we fix this thing. That's not fair of me. Anyone can just complain to the high heavens and stay complaining and keep complaining. How about we do some solutions around here? How about we make sure game 82 actually matters? All the fans out there that complained yesterday saying they were so upset that they spent their Sunday instead of watching the Masters, they watched that garbage Cavs game and they paid their money to go down to the field house. Well, I'm offering you solutions now. And the NBA has shown a willingness to actually adapt and hang on to solutions, because we've seen it with load management. We've seen it with the tanking and everything else within the lottery system set up for teams that are trying to be the worst. Like, they've made the adjustments. You guys got to stay angry about it. You got to stay mad about it. I'm sorry. I'm trying to come up with solutions here. And it feels like everyone's already been like, all right, well, you know, game 82. We got riled up. It is what it is. Now, let's make this right. 216-474 to below 92. What the Cavs and the Bucks did yesterday was awful for the sport. There's no debating that in my mind. It was not great. And the Knicks playing hard shouldn't have their fan base acting as if they committed some grave sin for trying to win a game. Now, I defended the Cavs' actions earlier, and I'll stay defending the Cavs' actions. But the Cavs' actions are defensible because they're playing a rigged system. If the game is rigged, let's fix the game. This is how we do it in my mind. Should the NBA let teams choose their own matchups based off of the seeding and based off of where they finish from a win-loss record, so we don't have what happened yesterday happen again? Should the NBA just let teams choose their own matchups? What we saw yesterday was embarrassing. And what's funny to me, though, is that the NBA is sitting around league offices looking like the meme of the girl guarding Caitlin Clark, like there's nothing we can do here. You guys are the ones in charge. You guys are the ones that can make the rules and the changes here. You blocked out all of Saturday because you wanted to make sure there was no back-to-backs. You wanted to make sure that everyone was playing tough. You had these really good primetime games, and everyone was going to, you know, try their hardest to go ahead and win the best they could. And the Bucks and the Cavs completely decided they didn't want to play your game. I don't blame them. I think it made sense for both the Bucks and the Cavs. How the Bucks are in the catbird seat right now. You kidding me? They got to be a three seed, got to avoid the 76ers, got a matchup they would want in the Pacers, and they avoid the Boston Celtics side of the bracket. It couldn't have worked out any better for Milwaukee. But the problem with this conversation is that it does nothing to reward teams for trying to win games and only punishes teams like the Knicks for trying their best and trying to make Sunday competitive. Knicks took that game against the Bulls in overtime. They could have easily just awaited it in the fourth quarter, did what the Cavs did where they got outshot and outscored by 20 in the fourth, and called it a day. They decided to play hard, and their fans wake up this morning with what is likely a first-round exit. So the idea that we're proposing to you guys...
People around the country are calling the Cavaliers cowards today.
Yes.
Just so you know.
Multiple people, NBA insiders, are saying they took the cowardly way out and everything else. Should the NBA let teams choose their own matchups? The idea is simple. If you finish with the one seed, you get to choose whatever team you want, and then we go from there. And you do it on TV, and you broadcast it, and yeah, There is some of that back and forth jawing. And yes, there is something to the idea that the Celtics are like, yeah, we want the Pacers. That the Pacers then get to be upset. Tyrese Haliburton gets to live with that, and it's a grudge thing. And every time the Pacers play the Celtics, Pacers fans get to be mad about it. But I love that side of things. I'll swerve into the chaos there. 216-474-0092. Drew up next. What's up, Drew?
Yeah, my opinion is for both the draft and the playoffs, it's lottery balls, man. You know, like, why are we rewarding these teams with bad management, giving them, you know, good record, you know, giving them good picks and this and that, you know? I mean, it's just, these things should be lottery balls. Every single playoff, I don't care if you're still going to see good basketball. You're going to see one versus two. You know, it might just happen sooner. Who cares? But this would take away that, you know, the management part of losing games, trashing games. It's a bunch of BS. That was a crappy Sunday of basketball. You know, and I went to the Pacers game on Friday night, and that was playoff intensity. It was awesome. But then on Sunday, everybody's, like, trying to play their, you know, it should be lottery balls. Who gives a crap? I'll let you talk.
All right, thank you, Drew. I appreciate you. I don't think we have to make it lottery balls. Lottery balls give too much randomness to the equation.
Yeah.
We need less randomness. The whole point of it is that you make it more definitive. The best teams get rewarded for being the best teams, and they get to choose the teams that have the weaknesses or choose the teams that are cosplaying as actual 4 or 5 seeds or whatever the seeds end up being. I mean, and that's really what it is. In no world should the Magic actually be a 5 seed in the Eastern Conference this year. But the Heat didn't play particularly hard during the regular season because they don't typically play pretty hard during the regular season. And the 76ers had an injury to a player that at the time was leading the NBA in scoring and is arguably top 3 player in the game, top 4 player in the game. I mean, Joel Embiid is a big difference on that roster. I want to make it so it's less of a guess and it's more of a, I got to be the 2 seed. I played my butt off. I made game 82 matter. I get rewarded by being able to play hard. And in fact, I think this would carry over for beyond just game 82. I think this would add intrigue for the previous couple weeks of the season as the Cavs try to look out and see the rest of the year. They're like, wait, we can't lose this game. We can't lose this game. Because every idea you have then is just win as many games as you possibly can. It's not like what you saw yesterday where, and again, I don't consider myself a stupid person. I don't think I'm a genius, but I don't consider myself a stupid person. And before the games got underway yesterday, Dustin, I'm sitting there, I'm looking like Charlie and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia putting together a crazy theory on the wall. I'm like, I'm trying to connect dots that shouldn't be connected. I'm trying to figure out what's the best scenario for each team. And it was like, what are we doing? Make it simple, make it easy. And then, yeah, let's have the TV ratings for the broadcasted event be as wild as you need them to be, where they get to choose the team that they want. And if Boston chooses Indiana because they think Indiana is the weakest of the 8 teams, then I'm sorry, Indiana, but that's reflective of what we currently think of you in the NBA anyway. Well, so that's what we're going
for. And by the way, it could be an injury. I mean, what if a team is a really good team and all of a sudden, like let's say the Bucks lost Giannis for the playoffs. If you were the number one seed, you'd be like, we'll take Milwaukee.
Exactly. Giannis could fall down a set of stairs tomorrow, and it changes what you want to do. And you should have that right. You should have that right. It shouldn't mean that Milwaukee is a 3 seed, because once the postseason got underway, they wouldn't have been worthy of being a 3 seed if you were to restack it. 216-474-0092. Jim up next. What's up, Jim?
I see you protect the first 4 and then pick from there. So number 1, Boston gets to pick the 5, 6, 7, or 8. Number 2, New York gets to pick 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever's left. And the Cavaliers, since they didn't, you know, get down to number 2 where they could have been, they pick 4th and they get whatever's left.
All right. Thank you, Jim. I appreciate you. The only caveat I have on that is that I really do – it would protect a team that isn't worthy of being a 2 seed because of, like, a Giannis injury, for instance. A Giannis injury as a 3 seed Milwaukee team should reshuffle the deck. Giannis gets injured and all of a sudden Boston wants Milwaukee. Well, then, okay, you get Milwaukee. You get rewarded. I'm about rewarding teams for playing hard, and I'm about making the regular season matter as much as it possibly can. And in a league where you're seeing so many teams fall into that little bunched up area of 6-7 wins, let's make this matter. Jason up next. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Jonathan, Dustin. How you doing today, guys?
Good,
hey,
man. Jason. What's up, man?
Yeah, I like the scenario. To piggyback off the previous caller, I really think you have to protect those top four seeds because you figure those guys are expecting a home playoff series. How unfair would that be for the Knicks to take the Cavs? Cavs automatically lose the first round series. So I like that you're doing it, but yeah, I just think you got to protect those top four seeds.
Okay, I can play with that idea. That's a good reason. That's a good reason to protect the – because home court advantage matters. It matters for the ticket sales. It matters for the fan base. I can be talked into that. I don't love the purity of it all, but if you have to choose through 5-8 to go ahead and protect the home court advantage, I can live with that because it would suck. It's a great point. It would suck if you're like a 2 seed, for instance, and the Knicks, and you're like, well, we dominate the Cavs. We want to take on them as a 4 seed. And so then it ruins Cavs fans, their first round home court advantage, and it ruins everything else from there. Sometimes you got to sacrifice a little things to go a little bold here. I can play with that idea, though. I can play with that. 216-474-0092. Should the NBA let teams choose their own matchup so situations like yesterday just don't end up happening? Derek up next. What's up, Derek?
Hey, it's Eric.
Eric, what's up?
I would maybe do a cross between what the NFL does and baseball does. Like maybe the 3 division winners, because there's 3 divisions per conference in basketball, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you could do that, and then whoever is like the 4 seed, like they all get a bye the first round of the playoffs, and then instead of these like 4-game series, maybe you do like a best of 3.
We just don't care about the division standings the way that we do in football, though. You know what I mean? It's just
right.
A little.
But I'm saying it incentivizes you trying hard to win.
To win your division,
and if you don't win your division, you're playing to get that 4th spot to get the bye as well. And then maybe you open it up to like 12 teams so that there's only like 3 teams that don't make the playoffs in each conference.
We can't put everyone in. I mean, I know we're trending in that direction right now. I know.
Or you could still keep the play-in, but just keep like the top four get a bye or something like that. And then whoever comes out of the play-in, like they have to play.
Yeah, I mean, we already got 10 teams in. Thank you, Derek. I do appreciate you. You're thinking outside of the box, and I like that. We got 10 teams in already as it is. I like earlier today, I was listening to the Fan and they were talking about the idea of like, oh, well, you know, we're getting mad about a postseason team and a postseason. And I'm like, it doesn't take much to get in the postseason these days. Baseball expanded out their postseason. The NBA hasn't expanded out postseason. It's not what it used to be. Making the postseason just means you're better than average. And sometimes it means you're slightly below average in whatever respective sport you even want to talk about. That's baseball down to the NFL, down to the NBA. 216-474-0092. Denny up next. What's up, Denny?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Denny.
I've got a couple of comments, but one thing is I'm a big fan. I'm screaming at the TV yesterday. What are you doing? You're giving up a shot at the 2nd seed, which means home court in the 2nd round if you get it. And then I finally heard everything, what they were doing and why. And I have some words to live by. One of them is, you tell me what the rules are, and I'll figure out a way to win. So talk about what I don't even have a comment about your suggestions of changing. I'm just saying, if you change something, tell me what it is, and I'll figure out a good way to make the system work. I don't mind what the Cavs did. But I have one more comment I'd love to make, if you just let me. I really, really hate what they're doing with the college football playoffs.
Oh, Danny, that's not us today, man. Danny, that's not. Yeah, I appreciate you, man, but that's not us today. I'm sorry. We're talking about the Cavs right now. 216-474-0092. Oh, now Kayla's giving me a look like that was mean or something. Like that was mean?
It was a little mean.
Sorry. I need to clarify this for people. My brain is programmed where if you're not on topic, that's not good for everyone listening. And so I need to get on topic as quick as I possibly can. Should I have let Denny finish and done his college football playoff suggestion?
I don't think it was mean. It was just very funny.
I mean,
so abrupt.
What are we doing? We haven't talked college football playoff in how long?
I think that you could have been nicer.
Maybe. I'm not as worried about Denny as I'm worried about everyone else listening.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
That does not care at all about Denny's college football playoffs.
I mean, in the time that it's taken us to diagnose and scan his call right now, he could have just given his take.
No, I know. That's the other sad part. But the reality is that they thought it, then other people probably thought it too. Jonathan, you're probably being a little mean to Denny. All right, sorry, Denny. If you call back in, I'll let you get your college. You're the only guy, though. You're the only exception. I'll listen to your entire college football playoff suggestion. I'm going to make Dustin give a heartfelt response to it. I'm not going to comment at all. I probably won't say something nice now. Or actually, I'll probably be biased about it, and I'll have to say something really nice, and I'll tell you it's the greatest thing I've ever heard, because now I'm starting to feel a little guilty about the whole ordeal. Only you, Denny. Nobody else. 216-474-0092. Should the NBA let teams choose their own matchups? Was yesterday an embarrassment for the NBA? I don't know that it's anything more than that. I don't think it's a black eye for the sport. I think it's just an embarrassment. I think it was a bad look. They rolled out the red carpet. They wanted you guys to care. They wanted you guys to get really involved and into it. And you guys sat there and you bought in. You had your popcorn. You're ready for a full day of NBA. And what you saw last night isn't what you were promised. And when that happens in sports, I'm open to the idea that the NBA's got to find a way to fix it. The idea I'm throwing out to you guys is, should the NBA let them choose their own matchup? All right, so let's lay it out for the people before we get to a little baseball thoughts, because you are the baseball guy. I don't think it would have counted as a hole-in-one, but I'm genuinely interested in what golfers out there think or what general people think on this on the topic. So you were at a buddy's house.
Yeah, we had a little Masters watch party for the final round yesterday at a buddy of mine's house. And he's got like a golf paradise at his house. I mean, he's got like just a huge simulator room in his backyard. He's got a 70-yard hole, the par 3 hole, that we went out and played a few times.
Okay, so how many shots did you take? You said you came within inches of, you're like, oh, I got, well, within inches of my first hole in one.
So we were just taking basically target practice, because it was,
why not?
Well, and there were like leaves on the green. We didn't want to like go down there and like have to sweep it off or whatever. So we just were just shooting, hitting some wedges.
There we go. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and taking turns, whatever. And I hit one really, really close. It was, I mean, from our vantage point, 70 yards up on the hill, it looked like it was going to be a hole-in-one. And he texted me this morning, because he went back out there and cleaned up the backyard and picked up the balls. He's like, dude, your shot was literally about 3 inches from going in. And no one has got a hole-in-one on
You didn't go down to like see exactly how close it was?
No, because we were just hitting a bunch of balls and taking turns, like kind of just having a little like competition like close to the fence.
So 3 inches away.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fun. And I do think you would have been on whatever plaque he's got or whatever.
He doesn't have one yet, but no one's got a hole-in-one on his par three.
But it wouldn't have been a life hole-in-one.
No, but it would have made me very happy.
Okay, all right. So we've had a good spot then. Okay. I just wanted to...
I mean, I wouldn't go around bragging that I had a hole-in-one before.
That's kind of what I thought you were going to do. I thought you would have been like, yeah, I had a hole-in-one, and then just told everyone how you got a hole-in-one. I think a hole-in-one, you have to start it around... been playing around. You could do a par three course. You ever done a par three course?
No.
All the holes are like 100.
Well, I know what a par three course is. I've never played one.
Yeah, like if you go play like Pinehurst, for instance, or something like that, where the U.S. Open's at this year, they have a par three course that you can go play. Mm-hmm. Augusta has a par three course, right? And you can go play that, and you have 18 shots at hitting a hole in one. But like as the round started and went, I think you got that opportunity. I think if you're just shooting balls at a hole, I don't think it counts the same way. Because there's no score to actually put it on.
Can you get a hole in one if you're playing in a tournament like a scramble?
Does yes.
That counts?
Yes. If you're in a scramble, I think it counts. If you're the person on the tee box, you hit the ball and it goes in the hole, 100% a hole in one.
Even if like you're not keeping your total score for the day.
Yeah.
You're just in a scramble.
No, I'm fine with that.
You are.
As long as you're the golfing person.
What does the golfing community say about that?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So I spent a sad amount of time in the golfing community on the internet, and I'm pretty sure the golfing community is in the consensus that if you're playing a scramble, as long as you didn't buy, you know, in scrambles, you can buy like three shots on a hole and you can buy mulligans and stuff like that.
Of course.
As long as it's the first shot of that tee box when you went up there and like you, it's the only shot you hit, then I think you're good. I think that's okay.
Okay.
And I would count it too. You're 120 yards away or whatever. You show up on the 14th hole. You're in a scramble. You shoot. You get the hole in one. That's a hole in one. No question about it. I think it's the fact that it's your buddy's place and you have like unlimited, because you could have sat there all day.
I could have sat there all day, and yeah. I would probably never get one in the hole.
But listen, I debated this a lot with. There's a place called Windmill Golf Center. That's close to my house. That's like 20 minutes from my house. It's not that close. But they have like a really short par 3 course that you can play near where the chipping area is and everything. And I played it a couple times. And I'll put the headphones in and just listen to sports radio. And then I'll just go and play. And I've debated my head because, I mean, these are short, short, short holes. Some of them are 30 yards, Dustin. You know what I mean? And I've debated if I got a hole-in-one in that, does that count? I guess technically it would. It's a par 3 course. Yeah. But if I had a 37-yard hole-in-one, I don't know. That feels a little lame to me.
37's a little short.
You know what I mean? Like a 70 or a 45-yard hole-in-one? That feels a little lame. But I'm not sitting up there and just taking seven shots on the 70-yard. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, on that hole, that 37-yard hole, I think if you had 100 shots, I think it would still be very difficult for you to make one.
I agree, but I feel like I could do it. Whereas if you gave me all day with a 120-yard one, I'm never doing it. I'm not going to be able to get that done. You give me all day, 120 yards?
To me, it's the same.
We have chances, but it's not the same. Oh, no, no, no. You think it's the same?
For me, it would be.
I'm happy you had a good golf shot yesterday.
Thank you.
I would have liked for your name to get up on the plaque. That would have been
cool. We don't
have
a plaque yet.
But when he gets the plaque.
Like Jim Nance has got one in his backyard. It's it's a replica of what hole? Is it the hole from the Masters?
Is it the 12th? I know it's one of the holes at Augusta. He's talked about it on the radio before.
We've seen it. I mean, he has had Tom Brady play it in his backyard, and that 30 for 30? They had. Remember him and Manny were out there.
I've seen the
yeah.
clip.
Yeah, yeah. So like, he's had all kinds of famous people out there playing it.
Yeah.
And there have been several hole in ones.
Yeah, I think it's awesome. Yeah. I think it's a very cool thing that's unique to. But like, it's not something you'd go around and tell people that you accomplished.
Well, let me ask you this: what if you live on a golf course? And you go out, because a lot of people live, you know, it's your backyard. You go out there and you play a hole or whatever, a couple holes a day, just at the 7 o'clock at night. You go out there by yourself and you hit a hole in one. Does it count?
I don't think so. I think it's got to be in the. I think it's got to be in the parameters of
a lot of stipulations here now.
Yeah, but if it's 150 yards away, and I just go out there on the 7th because I live off the 7th and I hit multiple balls, no chance. If I go out there and hit one ball with the intention of playing the 8th...
What course do you live on?
No, I'm making up a hypothetical.
I thought you live on a course.
No chance.
Oh.
I wish
well,
I lived
live
on,
in Solon.
I wish I lived on a
big
course.
Big money over there.
I wish I lived on a course. I don't live on a course.
Okay.
I actually made
it sound like you lived on a course, though.
You know, we play enough golf, and you see all these houses, and I always think to myself, like, I totally would live on a course and then just go out there and play. We played a course this past weekend. Just played 9 holes, whatever it was. But you know, all up and down the right side, you usually get like all, you know, there's trees. There's all sorts of things to protect.
Mm-hmm.
Because the slice is what most golfers naturally do. They slice the ball like crazy. And so you have a lot of like, you know, places that they put up a bunch of trees to stop it. There was so much area for open ball right through the window. I just kept thinking to myself, this is insane how these people are doing this.
Don't they have to have special windows that don't break?
Is that a thing?
So.
I wondered that.
Yeah,
when we were
way,
walking, it was way too open.
I wouldn't
for this
want
to not
live
be
on
a
golf
thing.
Course.
Well, your house just gets all dinged up.
Well, it's not just that. You get strangers in your backyard all day.
Well, and every 15 minutes you hear whack.
Yeah.
That's, That's got to be that runs pretty tired at some point. Whack! Yeah, you're like,
better than having a pickleball court in your backyard.
That would get real annoying. People are annoyed by the pickleball these days.
So am I. You know,
do you have one in your backyard?
No, I don't play pickleball.
Okay,
unless I'm forced to.
I know. Yeah, unless you're forced to. I know it's not real tennis. It's like the golf equivalent to playing putt-putt.
Because it's not tennis.
I know. Trust me, I get it. By the way, we're going to have more comments on the Guardians coming up in just a little bit in the 5 at 5. I did briefly want to say Tristan McKenzie is what scares me out of this whole ordeal. That's my main concern for right now, because you built a team on the backs of the pitching staff. And today, Curry went. Tomorrow's Bybee. Wednesday is Ben Lively. It's getting to be a little worrisome with the pitching. And I wonder, you know, Tristan had a UCL strain last year, and they didn't go ahead and get the UCL surgery or anything done. He just had the strain to it. And I wonder if the same thing that happened with him is what's happened with Bieber, where maybe they should have gone ahead and just done it. You know, maybe they should have just, at that point, should have just bit the bullet, had the UCL surgery, and then just had him back me 100%, because this is about to bite this team twice. His velocity's down. I'm really genuinely worried about it. I hope I have nothing to be worried about, and I'm just overreacting here, but I'm genuinely worried because his command's not there. His velocity's not what it typically is. And with these UCL injuries, you treat it like wear and tear with tires on a car. And once it gets worn down, you got to get it replaced. And a new one, if you get it replaced, is worth like 8 years. I know it's weird that they put it in that time frame like that, but that's what they've been coming out with the studies. It's worth 8 years. Of having basically like a fresh start. So if they would have done the surgery last year when he first went on the injured list with the MRI with the UCL problem and the sprain back on July 6th, we wouldn't be worried about that right now.
So you blaming some doctors here or what?
Something went wrong with Bieber, and something seems like it's going wrong with McKenzie. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just saying
you put a lot of eggs in the basket of
two pitchers. One of them's gone for the year already, and it seems like McKenzie might have some issues as well based off of what we saw over the weekend. We'll monitor it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.